Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon show. We had a very funny man in today, didn't we? It was good to see Frank Skinner.
One of the best. One of the best.
He's got a new show and he's doing some big gigs in London. He told us about that. Talked a bit of football.
Wasn't so pleased to see me, but you know, that's just normal, Paul. I'm used to that. He won't be the first and he won't be the last.
Andy's a close personal friend.
I know that.
He's known
I'm
Andy.
I don't take it to heart.
Frank in his book calls Andy the Roy Keane of fantasy football. He was the engine room.
The engine.
So, Frank, you know, they go back a long way.
Yeah, well.
So, but it wasn't personal.
I'm not taking it personally. I'm just bringing it up.
But no, it was great. It was really good. We had plenty to talk about, including heavy metal, funnily enough.
Yeah.
Plus, we had a bit of a chat about various things.
We had a fantastic call from a
Beautiful Sport listener.
Great call. Great text.
Yeah, brilliant. Some really good texts from you. One was, wow. Well, you're here. Maybe the title of today's podcast gives you a clue to what it was like. But anyway, and we had the birthday spread. So yes, here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon. What a match last night. You both messing each other during the...
It was just bonkers.
It was incredible. It was like a basket. You know my love of the Knicks. It was like watching the Knicks, Paul. It was up and down, goals. I mean, Onana. I mean, he's box office, Paul. I mean, I don't know if he's the sort of box office that Manchester United want, but he loves a flap. He loves to palm it out when he could have caught it. And he loves being the wrong side of the wall.
I saw him against Spurs earlier in the season. Although we won the game, I thought he looked the part. He looked very assured. But it's a kind of cockiness, isn't there? Like, yeah, I'm definitely in... Sometimes people who aren't in control can really look like they are. He makes some great saves. And he does it. He's got a kind of... I don't know. He's got a very relaxed sort of languid style, isn't he? Which you don't always want in a goalkeeper. You don't want goalkeepers to be languid, do you?
Bruce Grobbelaar is sort of who it reminds me of. Do you remember that was... He sort of was amazing.
Brilliant,
wasn't
but always with a bit of a rick.
It was a rick, you know, but a bit of personality as well.
It was very funny. It always is. I know he doesn't. It must drive him mad. But I say that. It's made him a lot of money. Mark Goldbridge having his meltdown after the third goal. And he immediately pins it on the keeper. And I've seen... That's a good hit.
Yeah.
I mean, the first two, you could argue about the... But it's, it bloke drills
it
out of
nowhere. The first one's a mistake, isn't it? And the second one's the same goal. So you do sort of go...
The first one, he just moves basically out of the area where he should be covering. And the second one, he just fluffs it and lets it go.
Doesn't he?
But look, as I said, I saw him in the flesh and I thought, whoa, he looks like he's in charge.
Yeah.
We're hopefully going to chat a bit more about that with a... Manchester United fan later
on. But a good game. Look, for us neutrals, it was fantastic to watch.
I thought Andy's plan was to watch it. But I said, this is a little... we had a little exchange. This was... So where's it going? Let me just find it for you. I think it's one I can safely do. I just said to him, 7:15, at that stage it was probably 3-all, wasn't it?
Probably,
it may have just become 3-all.
5:45 kick-off.
I just says to him, sensational game. He said, I'm likely lads-ing it for later. As I think Arsenal win, I'm not going to bother watching that. And so he proved to be right, of course.
Yeah.
I think he said comfortably. I said, I'll say nothing more then. You'll enjoy it. So then he comes back to me. He said, an hour gone here in Lightly Lads Land, and it's still 3-1. I'm waiting for the comeback. Unless, of course, you're a fan of big six-goal Manchester United wins. So I'm not going back to him at this point.
No.
Just send him the old emoji with the mouth zipped up.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Then he says, 83 gone, it's 3-3, and Robbie Savage is really getting on my nerves. So I'm hoping he's wrong, and there isn't another goal in the game.
There's a show I'd like to hear. Savage and Jacobs together at last.
And then he said, it's all over, wonderful game, but bad result for United.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was interesting watching it all unfold as he kind of watched it as live a couple of hours late without knowing the score.
Tell you what else I watched last night. I didn't watch the Arsenal game. I watched Ipswich, the Millwall.
Mm.
Ipswich were fantastic.
They're a very good team, aren't they?
What a brilliant football team. Yeah, they scored brilliant goals. I mean, Millwall didn't come out of the blocks. But they just... Ipswich, I'll tell you, I think if they get up... I mean,
we
always think that, don't we?
They're right on the cusp, aren't they?
Playing great football and they've got great players. And
they're only 1-2 points off of Leicester now? Not much, are they? So it's all pretty tight.
Well, Leicester lost last night. The top is getting really squashed. So, very good to watch.
Well, we're going to talk about... Blackburn had a win, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
They beat Birmingham City.
They went 3-0 up and then it was 3-2.
Am I going mad? It was Birmingham.
Yeah, Birmingham City. Yeah. Rooney's not got a win yet. So.
No. Well, he's had one.
Has he?
Well, at the weekend.
Oh, right.
They had one win at the weekend.
I apologise, Wayne.
Dance was a lot happier at the weekend, Monday, when we saw him. But Sammy Schmodix, is he the top scorer in the Championship
at
the moment?
He is. 5'6", attacking midfielder. He's scored 13 goals this season.
Amazing. He's another one off the posh conveyor. But I know Colchester fans apparently say, well, we had him first. But still, they bring them in posh, don't they?
They really do.
They polish them. You know, Ivan Toney, for example, many others.
Yeah.
Brett Sambalonga, who else went through there? Dwight Gale.
Yeah.
So they polish them. Yeah. And then they make a few quid, they move them on, don't they?
Well, it's one way, it seems to go one way or another. They'll take a lot of non-league talent as well. Like Shimanga was scoring hatfuls for Chesterfield last season in the National League, and they took him, and he's not quite stepped up
yet. That's the nature of it, isn't it? You never know.
So
our own Adrian Darren, we thought there was no one better to turn to and talk about that than Adrian. He'll give us his take on the week's football. We've seen a fair bit of it this week, travelling around for TalkSport on duty for us. We're going to say we'll talk Manchester United. Greg Lansdowne, the author of Stuck on You, The Rise and Fall and Rise of Panini Stickers. A book that I was fairly certain I'd have completed one of is going to be sold for probably a couple of grand. It's the Mexico 70. I believe Mexico 70 was the only sticker book that I completed. Maybe I'm sort of remembering it wrong because I was only about eight years old. But I remember completing that and the joy of completing the sticker book for the first time when I was a kid. And I was fairly certain. My mum moved, and I thought, well, I'll get up in that loft, and I know where it is. It's in a cupboard in this sort of pile of... Wasn't there.
Not there, Paul.
And that's 2 grand's worth. So you may have some cash in the attic, sporting cash in the attic you don't know about. So if you've got anything, you want to run it past it.
What were the stickers like? Well, you had to stick them on yourself.
Yeah, you get a bit of whack off the glue. Bit loosey in the sky with diamonds when I went to school at times. Yeah. Maybe I was just using the wrong glue.
Actually finish it, just dreamt you did.
Maybe I actually never did it.
All the footballers were coming alive.
Yeah.
And,
maybe I never
Pele
did
in
that.
Your front room at one point.
Yeah, putting on Relics by Pink Floyd and doing my sticker album. Not an ideal thing to do. So, we'll talk about that. We're interested to know whether you think you've got a bit of sporting cash in the attic. West Ham fans, the intrepid ones who've travelled to Topola. I'm calling it, it can't be Topola because that sounds like an online bingo company that advertise on TalkSport. Have you tried Topola yet?
Yeah, very nice.
The first 2 weeks are free.
Very nice.
This is Mildred. She won 5 grand.
But sounds good, Paul. Where do I sign up?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll send you the link. Backer Topola. It's in the middle of nowhere. Even West Ham, even the team themselves, have had not, you know, we were reading today in the Sun. Due to the complexity of Bakatopola's location close to the Hungarian border, West Ham considered several different routes into Serbia, including going via Budapest. Decision was eventually made, says the Sun's Jordan Davis, to take the near 3-hour flight from London to Belgrade yesterday morning before a 90-minute, 86-mile coach journey to Bakatopola. If you're a fan and you didn't have, as he says, access to a private jet and pre-hired coach, the travel advice from the club, they said the simplest way to do it was to hire a car from Belgrade.
Oh, yeah, that's
as
always
no direct,
that's always simple.
That's always, no direct public transport links between Belgrade and Topola. Or they said you could get 100 quid taxi, 100 quid each way. I suppose if there's sort of four of you in there.
That's right, isn't it? Yeah, that's
you're
okay,
part of
yeah,
that's yeah. not so bad, is it? But, yeah, so they're staying in different hotels, West Ham. There's very few hotels near the ground. But, you know, this team, this Serbian team, have earned the right to be in European competition, yeah. so fair play. But it struck us that there's places you go to, and we've talked to Ali Ross about this before, as a member of the Tartan Army and maybe for Aberdeen in Europe, that sometimes you'll go to places you never, ever would have gone to if it wasn't for football. Maybe you fell in love with them, maybe you didn't. But some of the far-flung corners of the planet.
Woking's like that for me.
Is that really?
I'd never go
You'd
there.
You'd never go to Woking
I wouldn't just...
Would
why would I go to Woking?
It's
other
quite
than
hard
having
to
see
to,
their tin pot little team.
Yeah. I mean, before the Woking ultras turn on you and you upset
good
somebody
good
else.
Good luck to them.
You're having a go at Fletch, of course, our newsreader. So
I'll have a go at anyone. Yeah. I just chose Woking as out of nowhere.
Okay, fair enough. Well, at least you're indiscriminate with it. So those places you never would have gone.
Yeah, great.
Tell us your stories. What was it like, good or bad? Maybe you expected it to be an armpit, and indeed it was an armpit. Or you went there and you thought, man, this is beautiful. Maybe you've been back. Maybe you've been back socially.
Yes.
I'm coming back with the missus.
Do you know what?
Is what you said just
come
as you
back
left.
Here.
I'm definitely going to come back. Let us know your stories then. Talksport.com. Text 81089, tweet TSHNJ, 03717223344. And no, not that one, Charlie. Tell us why you want to do no, not that one.
The Chipping Norton Panto this year. Oh, I don't know if you've ever been to Chipping Norton, Paul.
That's quite posh, isn't it?
No, it's tiny, little, beautiful. I did Panto there about 25 years ago. I did Panto there.
I've been there, isn't it? Yeah, I've been there.
And they've got a beautiful little theatre there. Yeah. Chipping Norton, and their Panto this year is Cinderella.
Oh, yeah.
But it's written by John Terry.
Wow.
So it's I thought
interesting.
We
John's gone
not
down.
That one.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if John Terry turns up at the end, you know, dressed as a fairy godmother, just in full fairy Cinderella
outfit is what you're suggesting to take all the plaudits.
Full Prince Charming at the end. He goes, you know,
he comes on after all the actors have done. He's the last one on. Is that what the point you're making?
That's the point
Charlie?
I'm making. Yeah. Cinderella by John Terry. Not that one.
Not that one
is what I'm after. I don't know if we've got any more footballers. Not that one.
Yeah. Well, I've got a not that one for you as well. I noticed this the other day. I was looking looking at the credits from Strictly Come Dancing. Head of production, Stan Matthews.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, Stan Matthews.
He's there.
He's head of production.
The Stan Matthews Strictly final.
It was the Matthew. Yeah, that's what the Strictly final.
Didn't even do that much production in it.
Yeah. Stan Mortensen's going to get no credit for it. The sound guy, Stan Mortensen. No credit. The camera supervisor is a guy called Lincoln Abraham.
Oh, wow, not...
Well done, Lincoln.
Well,
that's fantastic.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd go anywhere near a theatre with a name like that, would you? Definitely not.
Not that one. So we'll take those as well, yeah.
Yeah, talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ, 03717223344. Aidan says, I have all of the Busby Babes autographs.
Wow, that's good.
All
Aidan.
Of them, Aidan. That'll
that's
be worth
amazing.
A fortune.
It must be, yeah.
I'll tell you
be.
What, let's have a little. If there's people on the people in the know listening today that say, well, yeah, okay, let's try and get Aidan valued.
Maybe yeah,
you
why not?
You can, I mean, I would imagine, Aidan, that's worth a lot of money if you've got that great
all
team
of those,
on, I would
yeah,
think.
Wow.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We've had some fascinating stories coming in from listeners about places they never would have gone without football. Mark is a Baggies fan. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Good afternoon, lads.
You're one really intrigued us. I thought I want to know more about this. So where did you go that you never would have gone if it were not for football?
We went to North Korea to watch the local derby.
How did you manage it?
How did you get out?
So many questions. So how did it all come about then?
Well, it came about, I used to follow England all over the world, and we got friendly with quite a few other lads from different clubs. There was a Plymouth lads, Man City, Oxford, Bournemouth. And we just used to follow, I've been all over the world, Brazil, Argentina, everywhere watching England play. And basically, we just wanted to do something a bit different. So Simon, who was a big Oxford fan, he used to run a little sort of travel thing called England Fans Travel. He arranged for us to go to North Korea.
Wow.
Just to watch the local derby. I mean, it was a trip. We went to China and we went to North Korea because obviously we could only get in North Korea on a train from China. So that was basically how it came about. And we had like a trip. We went and seen the Terracotta Warriors, seen all different things. Tiananmen Square,
saw Pyongyang United versus Pyongyang City in the derby. You were saying the ground is absolutely massive.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the biggest football ground in the world. Wow. And there was about 300 people watching this game spread out.
Really?
And we was like probably the biggest lot there, because there were 17 of us all together kind of thing. And we wanted a drink at half time, and they only sold like soft drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So we asked for a cup of tea, which that came in a china cup and a china pot and with a saucer. So we all had a cup of tea in a china cup.
Don't get that at the Hawthorns, do you?
Well, you do, but you had to pay quite expensive.
Yeah, of course, you're in the boxes. Yeah,
so
what a great, and they sort of man mark you, don't they? When you're in North Korea, you have somebody look after you there.
Yeah, two ladies met us off the train, and basically they was with us all day until they took us back to the hotel. And then when you're in the hotel, it's up to you. But yeah, it was a good trip. It was, you know, we went to the shops. They stayed at the entrance. They didn't follow us around, and we could take pictures of anything we wanted to, really.
Right.
And, you know, there was no...
Amazing.
You're not still there then, Mark?
No. And to be fair, it's the quickest I've ever got out of a country. It took us, literally, we turned up 12:45. The flight was out at 1:00, and we was all on it, bags and everything, and gone.
That's fantastic. What we need. We need a bit of North Korea at our local airport.
Did Kim Jong-un, did he come on and score a hat-trick, left foot, right foot, header?
Yeah.
Of course.
That's what it said in the match report in the paper. Well, cheers, Mark. Brilliant story. Thank you very much.
No problem.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
John Terry has written the Chipping Norton Panto this year.
Yeah.
But you've said not that one, Charlie, but
I haven't checked, Paul.
Have you looked into
it? If you're listening from Chipping Norton, at the Chipping Norton Theatre there, give us a ring.
If it is
actual John Terry, we don't know what he's
like. If it
is,
then have a kind of anti-Spurs thread running through it. That would give it away, wouldn't it? That would give it away.
All the way through it. He might be good at writing a front cloth joke scene for the Dame.
Yeah,
you know, big song sheet comes down.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Not for the children. That song sheet.
Definitely not for the kids. That one. This comes from Deb at Deb's Ironing Shop in Wakefield. In my early days, for all your ironing needs, definitely no job too small. Like a romper suit,
do socks.
Socks. That's it.
The lot.
I worked, basically my kitchen fitting days, I worked with a plumber called Jimmy White and a joiner called Ronnie Wood. That's pretty good.
That's nice, isn't it?
It's actually John with Debs at Debs Ironing. So sorry, John, that was from you. I don't know if Debs could have been in the kitchen fitting business. Why not?
Get down to Debs Ironing this week.
In Wakefield. Shaky wakey.
Stuff.
I'm sure ironed. I think Cammy has all his ironing done there.
Yeah, down there, Debs Ironing. There's no better ironing place in Wakefield.
You don't know that.
I mean, there might be.
I don't think there is, but there might be.
My old mate and now my running partner is Paul Scholes. Not that one. The one from Luton. That's from Ian, the Luton fan.
Luton Paul Scholes.
I mean, it's quite a rare name, isn't it? Paul Scholes. I mean, growing up, your name would be Paul Scholes.
Yeah, it would be.
You'd be thrilled about it, wouldn't you?
So you get where you book a... I suppose you'd want to get into a restaurant in Manchester, behind you, wouldn't it?
It's Paul Scholes.
It's Paul Scholes. No problem, Mr. Scholes.
No problem,
and you're 6'3" with black hair. But they'd be annoyed, wouldn't they?
They'd be spitting
in your dinner because he only got that table because he said he was Paul Scholes.
But actually a better tackler than Paul Scholes.
Yeah, I think he'd be the first to admit that doesn't really narrow it down much. This is Lee in Stourbridge. Lads, we went to Ostrava. We played Bannock Ostrava in the 90s. That was the old Joe Venglosher years, I think, that. With Villa, he says, in the UEFA Cup. Nightmare to get to. And at half-time, a load of miners suddenly appeared at one end who just popped up after a day at the mine.
Oh, yeah, lovely.
A friend's dad, sadly no longer with us, understandably, back in the day, when he was a kid, like in the 30s, he was Bristol Rovers fan, and they would turn up for the game, and the players would still have the coal dust on them, where they'd been in the mines, working in the morning.
Come out,
you could
game
still
in the afternoon.
Yeah, thinking, well, I won't bother showering before.
Canary in their hands.
I'll have a shower afterwards.
Canary.
Yeah, what about that?
The cage, absolutely lovely.
We're going to be talking later on about this Mexico 70 Panini sticker album that could be going for close on $2,000. So there could be some sporting cash in your attic. We're interested to know this afternoon. Kev in Northern Ireland, we're going to run your one past Greg Lansdowne, an expert in that particular field. This is from Tom in Newmarket. Back in our non-league days following Cambridge, we took a trip to Farsley Celtic and we thought we'd travel back to the 60s. Bit harsh. I mean, I've not been... I mean, it's near Leeds, isn't it?
Yeah,
Farsley?
I don't know.
Cosmopolitan part of the world.
I'll look
Tom,
it up.
Tom won't be rushing back. Just because you come from Cambridge.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in Newmarket.
All right. Yeah. Farsley Celtic. Let's have a look. Shall we give you Farsley Celtic? Farsley Celtic. Newlands.
I thought it was near Leeds.
Newlands in, where is it? Directions from here. Four hours 44 if you want to drive it.
It's sounding like it's distance, yeah.
There we are.
You're giving it a level of detail. Yeah.
Pudsey.
Oh, okay.
There we are, near Leeds. Yeah, near Leeds, yeah. You were right, Paul, first time. Didn't need all that.
Jim, the Arsenal fan, says the one that sticks out for me travelling to watch the team is Baku. He said it's a really... Have you ever been, Charlie?
Never been to
Baku,
Our old mate,
late great Andy Smart, had been there a few times working, and he said it was kind of an odd... I think he quite liked it in a way, but... He said it's a little bit, this is from Jim, he says it's a little bit Las Vegas and a little bit medieval Ward City.
That's very nice.
I think
it's a bit of a
clash of cultures.
I did some gigs in Kazakhstan.
Shame about the drubbing, he adds, Jim. Thank you.
Aktau and Almaty in Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
And that's a bit like that. That's a bit like massive buildings, but also people going around on horses.
Yeah. Did you like Almaty?
Yeah, it was lovely. They
lovely lad.
We ate horse and drank vodka in this one bar.
You ate horse?
Yeah, horse and drank vodka
in this
one bar.
Was it a horse and vodka bar?
Yeah, it was.
Really?
It was amazing.
Must do a show from there, as Alan would say.
It was really great. And Scholing away. I went in the FA Cup once with Torquay. Scholing.
Where's Scholing?
The UK.
Yeah, where's Scholing?
Sort of south coast.
How
sort
are you
of
spelling
way.
It?
Scholing.
Okay, wow.
It was Scholing. I'm saying Scholing like it was Scholing.
It was Scholing, the producers.
And because I had a friend in a high place,
yeah.
me and he were the only two away fans.
Wow.
Because it was during the pandemic, just towards the end of the pandemic.
Mm.
But we managed to get tickets. And we stood behind the goal in the pouring rain.
Just the two of us
behind
the Torquay Ultras.
Torquay Ultras, just there, just us.
With the Scholing fans singing, is that all you bring away?
yeah.
Even during a pandemic.
Exactly, yeah. No, it was good. It was good fun.
What else have we got?
I went to school with Stuart Little.
Oh, that's not bad,
that's
is it?
Chris in Watford. Was nice, but he loved
it. He wasn't a tiny mouse. No, not that. You can't really say not that one when the alternative is a tiny animated mouse.
We know he's not a tiny mouse.
Okay, because we would have been confused otherwise.
Yeah, he's not going.
Yeah.
Is it the actual? Just before we carry on.
Yeah.
Just before we on the phone. Yeah. Before we carry on, is it the actual Stuart Little?
Yeah. Talking of which, Mats from Lowestoft said, my course leader is called Brian Little. Ironically, he's a West Brom fan. And not Villa, as you might expect, of course. As a Mark from London says, as a breakdown patrol person, I've been out to Russell Hobbs and John Lewis, but alas, they were not the actual ones.
Mark Laguna says, if you've ever bought Panini stickers, $2,000 sounds like about break even.
Yeah.
It is right.
Well, it wasn't back in the day. I suppose it was all relative. I mean, for me to have completed, which I, again, my sketchy memory, but as I said, there was a lot of fumes off the glue, so I may not have even done it at all. But I seem to recall completing it, And it didn't feel like it was as massive a chunk out of my pocket money.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
I went
to quite a big school and there was a lot of swapses in the playground. Yeah. So maybe you didn't have to buy as many packs then to find a way through it.
Sort of 84.
That and the bullying, of course. Where I'm only joking. I didn't do that.
That
wasn't
80,
me.
84 to 87 was sort of my peak.
Really?
I'm thinking 50p a packet, but then I don't know.
Mine would have been probably about 70 to about 74, I would think. Take me up to 13. I mean, maybe you've got
10p. 10p a packet.
I've got no idea.
Maybe how much Greg, is it? The people know how much they
we've
are.
We've got an expert, Greg Lansdowne, coming
only
on.
Only we knew the right person.
I would imagine, you know, the equivalent now, it's probably like spending £100 a pack the way things are. In my first job, I used to collect trolleys in the car park of my local supermarket with my oppo, Tommy Doherty. Brackets, not that one, says. Did they call him the Doc, though? I'd like to think they did call him the Doc, Al in Burnley. Thank you very much.
Smashing the trolleys into you.
You were being a cartoon villain when you were talking about Torquay, but I'm sorry, about Woking. And Fletch knew that.
I think they're a tiny little Tim Pot team.
Woking fans are getting stuck into you, aren't
good.
They?
Good.
They're
luck, getting good stuck luck
to oh, Tim Pot team, are we, Charlie? He's only joking. It's Panto.
I'm not, really not.
It's Panto. He doesn't mean it. He does, apparently. He does. He's just nodding.
Sliding back down the leagues. It's great to watch.
He's nodding his head, and apparently he does mean it. So
Stuart Little was the golf pro at Minute. Minchinhampton Golf Club.
Not miniature golf club. No. that would have made sense. The miniature mouse golf club.
My dad plays golf, and his golf pro 7'2".
Wow. Tailor-made clubs. I mean, literally. I don't mean...
You'd think, wouldn't you? Yeah, really long clubs.
Yeah, you'd need that, wouldn't
7
you?
7'2", feels too tall to be good at golf.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
A number of people have been in touch, Charlie. Not just about...
Some people more angry than others, Paula.
Really?
Apparently on the text, but we'll have a look at that in a minute.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, that takes some doing, doesn't it?
Yeah, I get cross about stuff as much as anyone, but you know, there
he
we
points
are.
Out, he questions, he says, are you a pair of, I can't possibly, I mean, it's the worst word you can ever think of. It's the very worst word. Are you a pair of worst words you can think of? The man with the sticker problem told you he could have got his hands on his problematic transfer. He didn't want it. Mate, you're going to have to calm down.
Calm down. It's nearly Christmas. Only football stickers.
I don't think... It's the worst word used in the very worst context ever. Really. We kind of know that. The guy... I want to say, we know that what's it guy, but I can't use the word that you're going to be known as from now on. What a piece of work.
Oh, there we are. Beautiful.
Anyway.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
That man, very worst word you can think of, man, has texted back saying... Sorry about that. It sounded much worse when you read it out than when I did it in my head. Love you guys.
Oh, that's nice.
All is forgiven.
Happy Christmas.
Let's hug it out. Let's hug it out.
Hashtag POC. Lovely.
It was probably the most spectacular text we've ever had. Have we got James back yet? We're struggling with James. We'll try again. We'll try in a minute.
Very nice.
No, not Panini stickers, says Tom the Arsenal fan. This is a beauty. Also, when I was a kid, the many filling stations, petrol stations, coins for a World Cup.
Shell, that was coins, yeah.
Yeah, was it Esso or Shell? I can't remember. But somebody also did fantastic little figurines, statuettes of the players, which I also collected. Buy more petrol, Dad! I was siphoning it off, so he'd go and get a Bobby Moore.
Get the whiskey tumblers.
Tom the Arsenal fan said, not a Panini story. However, do you remember those football coins you'd collect from Esso back in the 1970s? Unfortunately, my dad realised that they also fitted our gas meter.
Oh, wow.
So my full collection was emptied by the old man.
Oh, that's amazing.
You didn't answer that man's question, though, did you? Well, we'll let you draw your own conclusions.
Someone wondering if that texter was Andy Jacobs.
It could have been Andy. It was the sort of thing
Steve the window, Steve the window cleaner.
Andy written all over it, quite possibly was.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Frank Skinner has joined us in the studio, and Frank just said headphones on or headphones off. But of course, you have your own. We won't publicise it too much, Frank. Yeah. But you have your own radio show elsewhere.
It doesn't clash with this one.
That's true.
Don't worry.
It does clash with the other one I do, actually. So
oh, does
yeah,
it?
It's a bit of a show. Okay,
yeah,
a
I think you know it's a bit of healthy competition.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice. It and I'm friends with Alan, who's on it as well. So that's yeah. Well,
it's a bit awkward because he's not on it anymore.
Oh, wow, what a disaster.
Regular listener, Charlie.
Well, yeah, I'm on air when he's on.
Oh yeah, that's true. That is true. Well, lovely to see you.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah. Lovely to see you. It's been a long time, as Elvis used to say.
Yes, you are doing some gigs in London.
It's a joy to see you, Charlie, but I didn't know Andy wasn't on. I'm a
that's
bit
a shame,
heartbroken.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Well, he's really sorry to have missed you.
Welcome to the listeners day in, day out.
No, he was sorry to have missed you. He sends his love. Of course he does.
Yes. So you were saying, yes.
I was at the Gielgud Theatre.
I don't want to disturb you mid-plug.
I don't, really, in case I don't get a chance to come back to it. But you are, you're going to be at the Gielgud Theatre for a couple of weeks in February.
That's it, first 2 weeks of February in Shaftesbury Avenue.
Beautiful.
Yeah. West End, London.
You did in Edinburgh and then did some gigs in London with as well, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I did the Lyric. Also in Shaftesbury Avenue. That's my natural home
yeah,
now.
Of course it is.
I think. Yeah. So I did a week there and then I thought I want to do some more. So I never did another couple. It's not that you walk out to those theatres, you know, and they're really stunning. You know, in those days, because they had no amplification, the audience don't fade into the distance. They're stacked like a wedding cake right in front of you. All that gold and red.
Frank Matcham, isn't it? Was the great theatre designer.
That's
correct.
Yeah.
The show is called 30 Years of Dirt.
Yes.
Isn't
beautiful.
It? And is it you going back to your roots?
No, it's me talking about how I have tried in recent times in order to get a bit more kudos, to be a bit clever, a bit more sophisticated and a bit less like I was when I worked in a factory. And it's about my struggle with that. In many ways, my failure. So it's not an all clean show. It's quite a rude show talking about trying to be clean.
Is it bawdy? Can I use the word
bawdy? It's Barrett Room stuff. But only in parts it is. I like to think it.
I think it always has been, isn't it? In a good way. That's it's always been a kind of trademark. You've pushed the envelope, I think, over the years a lot when you've done stand-up.
I used to always think, wouldn't it be nice to have more of a balance and have more clean stuff? But then, nowadays, your modern comic, they hire directors to talk about their show and stuff like that.
Wow.
Whereas the audience is my director. I could do it all with a clapometer. So if they laugh, then it's in. And if they laugh loudly, it's definitely in. And if they don't laugh that much, it's out. And once you've done that for 2 months of editing and filtering, there's no clean stuff left. The audience think, oh no, we like this stuff.
Yeah, that's just what they want.
There's no sad bit of 40 minutes.
No.
You know, like the classic Edinburgh show.
Really made me think that bit.
I don't do, if there's any silences in my show, it's accidental. But now the thing, as you say, in Edinburgh now, is to do a themed show, which usually means a comic has written 15 minutes of the same theme, and then he or she will make the other stuff they've got work if it kills them.
Yeah.
But does the theme of this is I'd like to do, I would like to do an all clean show. I'd like to be able to stare into the crowd and not see people going, oh no. I'd like a bit of that.
Yeah.
I'd like to, you know, something for everybody, but I just can't manage it.
As sensibilities have changed then over the years, do you still get a bit more of that? Do you get more of that than you did back in the day?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's sort of, what you want to hear is the breath being taken through the teeth.
Oh, yes, that's what you want. You're getting an estimate from a builder.
You want that with the laughter. Really. But the thing is, I've always sort of worked on the line without going over it. Mm. And the line moves and I just move. I just follow the line.
Yeah. I think the best comics do that. Find where the line is.
Yeah.
The media and the comedy industry seems to me to be pretty obsessed with youth, whereas I think people get funnier as they get older. You look at all the great comedians and I think people get funnier as they get older. Do you feel like you're getting funnier?
Well, I I am, definitely. Whether I find that in other older comedians, I'm not sure.
But you,
keep
writing. A lot of older comedians don't keep writing. You keep writing.
No, I still write. I do my 45. So my minimum every day is 45 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. And
writing, that is, writing new material.
Writing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, because as I get older, I get bored more easily. So there was a time I could get the show together and it was every joke got a laugh and I thought, that's me done. But the trouble is my mind starts wandering off if I do the same stuff. So there's obviously I keep in, you know, stuff, but I do like to do a bit of tweaking and messing about as well. I don't know if people get better. I only think of Verdi. Apparently, his opera's got better as he got older.
Okay.
Shakespeare, that's about it.
Yeah.
Most people, let's face it, get considerably worse as they get older. But no, I honestly think I'm funny. I can't get around it.
Yeah. You've always tried to keep your hand in from a stand-up point of view. When you were appearing, you were doing lots and lots of telly. That wasn't as easy, but you still enjoy it. Is that kind of feel like your sort of natural home, really?
Yeah, and you know, I think when I'm on my deathbed, you know, when they say you regret what you didn't do rather than what you did, I think I will look back to that TV period and think I should have carried on doing stand-up, even if it was, you know, every 2 or 3 years. But I went 10 years or something, and yeah,
it was that long, was it?
Yeah,
wow.
And I hate the idea of that, because there will be jokes that would have emerged then that will never emerge now, because that moment's gone. But
maybe there's the 10-year out tour. Maybe you just go back through that material and say, hey, remember when that happened?
Well, I tell you, I get quite romantic about stand-up. It feels like a noble art. Mm. I know, I've never felt noble on a panel show.
Yeah.
But when you're up there and you're on your own, it feels not cool. I've never been cool in my life. But I know, even I've done bad gigs in small clubs and I've left, turned the collar of my overcoat up, lit a cigarette and walked into the wet, dark night. And I like that. I'd rather go well. But I mean, if you can't do a melodramatic exit.
Well, I always say you never feel more alive than when you've just died.
Well, I do think that you learn more from a bad gig than a good gig. But, you know, I've had gigs that have been like 3 years at Cambridge University, and that's too much.
Does that still happen, though? I mean, because people kind of know what they're going to get from you. They like you. They're on your side when they come to see you. Even if you're doing an open spot trying stuff out, they know you are. They're looking to be entertained.
Well,
so.
Where the show is now, it means you only you get good nights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's as low as it goes.
Right.
So if you have a friend come to see her and it's a good night, they say, I really enjoyed that. And you think, I wish you'd come on a brilliant night.
Yeah.
So I know what it's like. When
they're never in on a brilliant night.
No. But, and if they are in on a brilliant night, of course, you don't say it's a brilliant night. You say, no, that's pretty average. But if you're doing new material, like when I start a show, I do like little clubs and back rooms in pubs, and I'm doing an hour of new stuff. I mean, definitely some of that bombs because, you know, you're throwing everything in. I once did a gig in Bristol when I was starting off a tour and I had like an hour of material and I went and did it and about 55 minutes of it absolutely stormed and went straight into the set and continued to go well. But that's never happened again. That was just one, you know, magical night. Usually, you know, it's 10 minutes here, 5 minutes there.
I think I read in your autobiography, was it in one of your first autobiographies, was that you did Edinburgh not really knowing what Edinburgh was, so you'd write new material all the time up in Edinburgh doing the show, and that's how you got nominated.
When I won the Perrier in 91, I didn't know if I'd got an hour, so I was doing my set as I, you know, all the material I'd got. And I had a little look at my watch. I thought, I'm about halfway through the material. I looked and I'd done 57 minutes. And I thought, I've got plenty. So halfway through Edinburgh, I got bored of the first hour and did the second hour.
Wow.
But the thing was that the judges for the big award had been in week one. And then you have to go back to have another look at them. You then expect a different show.
Yeah, of course.
So I think that did help.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Apparently, Eddie Izzard's still very bitter about me beating him that year.
Really?
Somebody told me.
Still bothers him.
Still really upset.
Let it go,
about
let
him.
It go.
Yeah.
It's going to be no good in politics if you're going to hold a grudge.
No, that's very true. Frank Show, 30 Years of Dirt at the Gielgud Theatre from the 5th to the 17th of February. The tickets are on sale now. You got a few matinees in there, Frank,
yeah.
as well.
That's well, nice. You know what? I wasn't going to do matinee, but my manager said matinees, that's what they're after.
For a comedy show, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, the dynamic of an audience at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I think people are just terrified being in central London after about 9 o'clock at night, so they want to go in early. So that show is actually selling the best of all of them, those two Saturday matinee shows. I should have just done matinees.
Yeah.
It gives you an insight into how old your audience is as well when the matinee sales are really going through the ceiling.
You never did panto, did you?
Well, I did the ITV panto.
Oh, okay. In Wimbledon, which was
But no, it was actually at Brixton Academy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I did that with the Ugly Sisters were Paul Merton and Ronnie Corbett.
Oh, wow.
And Samantha Janus.
Yes, yeah.
Was Cinderella and I was Buttons.
Right.
Very nice.
Did it give you a taste for it? You don't see yourself doing Blackpool for a couple of months?
Only if I have to. I think that's the thing with panto.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of I Am a Fugitive from a Chain Gang.
Yeah.
Paul Muni stopped by this woman in the street, and he was a bloke who was wrongly accused and ended up in prison.
Yeah.
And she says, "How do you live now?" And he says, "I steal." That's the last line. And I think that's how it would be with me and Panto.
If they ever see you as Widow Twankey, we'll think of that.
Yeah, see me in the street and say, "How do you live now?" And I'll say, "It's behind you."
Oh, dear. Yes, you can see Frank at the Gielgud Theatre, 5th to 17th of Feb. Tickets on sale now. We'll chat more in a few moments. We'll talk a bit of football, I think. Yeah, Frank.
You know what? I really like football.
At the moment?
Really?
Just generally.
Just generally. Yeah. Okay, well, that's good. Frank will chat more with us in a few moments' time.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Frank Skinner's with us in the studio. You can see his new show, 30 Years of Dirt, the Gielgud Theatre in London, between the 5th and the 17th of February next year. Tickets on sale now. And we've been seeing lots of Euro 96 footage in sad circumstances, really, this week because of the death of Terry Venables.
Yes.
And I'm sure it brought a lot back to you around that time, to you and Dave. I don't know if you've spoken to him about it yet. But
we exchanged... I sent him a thing... a text saying the key will no longer tap. Because when we first played that song to the England team, Terry Venables tapped along with his car keys. And then at the end of it, he said, "It's a real key tapper, isn't it?" As if that was a general.
It was
always stopped with us.
I remember when we did the documentary that you and Dave did with us, you telling us that story. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to meet him along the way, I guess, because of...
Yeah, and I saw him play, you know, I saw him play for your team.
So did I, yeah.
Yeah, he was incredibly nice bloke. And I think probably a brilliant manager. What happened after 96, I never quite understood. He went off to concentrate on court cases. You usually think the FA are probably involved in a negative way somewhere in something like that.
He did seem to take a lot of... He put a lot of energy into other things, didn't he, and never quite... captured that again.
But it was a golden moment. When he was El Tel at Barcelona that. Yeah, I love all that. He was, he was one of the best.
Yeah, lovely. West Brom, you've just telling us you've not been to the Hawthorns as regularly as you used to.
No.
In recent years.
COVID sort of broke the habit for me, really. Oh. I tell you what I am now, and this is, you don't meet many of these. I'm an audio season ticket holder.
Oh, okay.
So I've got an Albion app where all the games, home and away, are on in audio.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if you've ever listened nowadays. You probably don't to football live games on the radio.
Oh,
obviously,
yeah.
Obviously,
I do. Yeah. Time. Yeah. I listen and talk
about
it.
It's got its own kind of excitement. Basically, when the other team's got the ball, you feel they could score at any moment. They might just be dribbling around their own area.
Yeah.
And we have Andy Johnson, who's an ex-player.
Yeah, remember him, yeah.
So he's the sort of expert as well.
You get a partisan commentary, though, don't you? Which is kind of what
that's
you want.
That's what I want.
Yeah,
yes.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah, I ain't neutrality in football of any kind. I really do. I once went with David Baddiel to Chelsea Albion. And I sat with him amongst the Chelsea fans, and a bloke said, "Come on, Chelsea, we can beat this rubbish." And I thought, I just don't want to hear it.
No.
I think segregation at games has been the making of it.
Yeah, it's never nice being around away fans. It's never a pleasant experience, is it?
I'll tell you what I realised recently is I saw my first game in 1967, and I've been watching football live and on telly consistently since then. And I have learnt virtually nothing about football in that time. I'm not joking with you. If you was to take every game I've seen, every goal, say, I've seen at the Albion over the years, scored against us, which, as you can imagine, is many, apart from a major individual error, I could not give you the faintest theory on why that goal happened. I don't know. When people say, yeah, they've switched to three at the back, I've never noticed that.
Yeah.
And all I just don't... I can't think of anything else I could have done that avidly for whatever it's been, 50-odd years.
But, I mean, around Albion, you're emotionally invested, so you're not looking for that. But even generally, when you watch a game of football between two teams...
No, when they say, oh, the thing is, look at the gap they've left between them. Yeah. I have no idea what they're talking about. And you would think I would have picked some of that up. I really know nothing about football as far as tactics are concerned.
So anyway, you had this theory. We, me and you and Andy went out to have something to eat, and we were chatting, and you had this theory that you felt Mexico 70... was the worst thing ever happened to English football because we decided we all wanted to be Brazil. You know, yes. England had a way of... And I thought that was a very interesting theory. That's a bit of deep thinking about the game.
Well, I like... Simon Cooper's book, Football Against the Enemy, when he suggests that countries actually have an instinctive style of play that fits, be it the climate, just be it the general attitude of the population... And you would think, wouldn't you, if you walk around the average British town on a Friday, Saturday night, that it's going to be based on violence, not artistry. And so you can see how that happens. You know, the Brazilian kids are on the beach kicking some bundle of rags around. Yeah. But, you know, we're destroying a bus stop with a lump of concrete. And I think we should have stopped with that old-fashioned. I mean, one thing is the pitch is improved drastically.
That ruined a lot. Yeah.
We had
to bypass the midfield then because there was no midfield.
When you see the England right winger trying to do a step over via the Brazil left back, and you think, well, they invented it. They invented the step over. Yeah, so it sort of means, I think you're absolutely right.
We've evolved since, but I think...
We've got incredible...
The principle was sound given 1970 and stuff. I always thought
When I hear Jude Bellingham interviewed and he's got, you know, a black country accent, that makes me very proud.
Yeah,
the idea that he's probably going to, if he isn't already the best player in the world... Mm. Will be from Stourbridge.
Yeah.
That makes me.
Beautiful.
Because they're always exotic people, the best player in the world.
That's true. When he goes and gets his Ballon d'Or. And
thanks very much. Ta-da, a bit. Now that would be...
It would be great. And they're all sitting there. Nobody can understand what he's saying. It'd be great.
You know what I mean? It was, you know, it was Pelé, it was Cruyff, it was Maradona.
Yeah.
Then it's all right.
Before we let you go, you and your lad Buzz, you're bonding over vintage rock. It's fantastic. He's playing a bit of guitar now, and he's got into the sort of rock music you loved when you were a kid.
Yeah, well, he's 11, and I mean, for example, we've got a pay-per-view booking for the early hours of Sunday morning for Kiss's farewell gig at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And this summer we've seen Metallica and Slipknot and Iron Maiden and Guns N' Roses, and you know, we've just been to loads of gigs.
What was his way in? What was the song that got him into it?
We had the radio on in the house, and not this station.
Right.
But anyway, my station.
Yeah.
And they played Poison by Alice Cooper, and it was like that moment where, you know, something very magical happens.
Right.
And he loved it. And then it's like the heavy metal door open.
Really?
Yeah, and he walked
heavy
in.
Metal
but of
door
course,
is
he's,
like.
You know, he's got a bit of Birmingham in his blood, so it's not that surprising. Yeah. Really.
Have you? Because have you told him about the kind of heritage of heavy rock and Birmingham?
Oh yeah, and he loves Ozzy and all that as well. But he plays things to me like. He says, oh, man, I've been listening to Ozzy and Black Sabbath, and I thought he was going to play Paranoid. And then it's Mr. Crowley. So, you know, it's that solo thing about Aleister Crowley, that Ozzy So it's all sorts of stuff I don't know about. But
he's going to be into Dennis Wheatley and all that stuff. He's going to start wearing a tall black hat when he walks around the living room.
I hope that's not going to happen. I mean, as a Catholic, I think having a Diabolist would be awkward. I mean, it could be worse. He could be Church of England.
Oh dear! But it's great. It's an interesting thing to bond over.
Well,
let's
say he plays guitar, and he's played at school. He's played at school a couple of times. He did the last school concert. He did Crazy Nights. You know the kids hit with his band Guillotine.
Oh,
dedicated to Alice.
Bit the head off a bat, did he?
Alice, yeah. I don't think Ozzy ever actually did that. I think he was bitten by one.
Yeah. So can you mosh at... Have you been in the 66?
I don't think I've got a mosh left. I can barely raise a horns.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I was looking at Andy Jacobs on Instagram there.
Were you really?
And he was nodding along when he said Andy.
Yeah, I always watch him on OnlyFans. That's where he does his best work.
Has he got a lovely OnlyFans?
That's where he does his best work. It is quite
lovely. And there's Jeff as well.
It's quite
Hello,
an acquired
Jeff.
Taste. Yeah.
Their live 37 watches they've got on Instagram at the moment.
Isn't it? 37 people.
36 now. I thought someone's just left.
Yeah, it's the birthday spread. That's why
we have to find the OnlyFans.
Jeff have joined us because we got 10 birthdays from this week. Andy's. There we are. Andy's collated them all. We've got to try and guess the ages with the shortest margin of error. Basically, you're going to join in. A lot of you play along at home or in the car. A lot of people on the way back from school, we understand, play with mum and dad in the car.
Yeah,
so and let us know at halftime how you're getting on. Talksport.com, text 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ. Jeff Peters is with us. He's back in the nerve centre, I think.
Hello, Jeff.
Oh, there it is. Beautiful. Oh,
answer that.
So no more succotash and deepest depth. For some reason, my FaceTime audio, it changes my voice completely. Somebody messaged and said, have you gone to Mexico to have some work done?
Yeah, we wondered. I want you to have all your teeth taken out.
Which I thought was a little bit harsh. Yeah. So I've now got a full head of hair. As if people are on Instagram Live, we are back on that, myself and Andy. So
Not let me join. I've tried to join. They won't let me join.
They're
keeping those 52. Keep 52 watches for themselves.
Yeah. Who won last week?
I didn't see you there. Sorry, Charlie.
The winner last week was Charlie. Yeah. So we closed the overall gap to 35-57, and it's 20 versus 18 in 2023. So that's how tight it is between you two boys this year.
Lovely.
I can hear them. It's coming.
Oh, you can hear
it's
coming
bouncing.
Out.
It's bouncing. Like, couldn't you hear them?
No, I couldn't hear them.
Oh, you've got the headphones on.
Yeah,
fair enough. Okay.
Down. There we go. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Perfect. Okay, let's
he's
get underway
beautiful,
then.
Beautiful Charlie Baker, isn't he?
Yeah, what a lovely, looking man, aren't
he? Here's Pelé and Sergio Mendes.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. And no need to introduce me or anything. The birthday spread.
We know you are.
Tremendous, isn't it? Honestly.
Talking about you.
I didn't know you wanted. How many years, Andy? Is it?
This is technically your show. I don't get a big build up every day.
Anyway,
get a hype man for him.
I've got a message from the birthday spread committee.
They
were very unhappy about last week. You're both now not allowed to think about the ages until you've laughed uproariously at my carefully crafted Tim Vine approved
gags. Sorry about that. We got far too into the competition last week. Yeah, it's a good point, Jeff.
Well done, Jeff.
Good point, Jeff.
Well done,
smoking?
Jeff. Jeff's there
vaping?
On the vaping now.
Oh, for God's sake.
Jeff's got a sponsorship deal with a vape company for the birthday spread.
He's all feeling a bit payola, isn't it?
Okay. I say so.
First birthday.
Topola.
Yeah. Okay. She was married to Mike Tyson. It's the actress Robin Givens. Givens. And she was moaning like mad to me when VAR refused to give her team two nailed on penalties. Mm. I agree with that. I've seen them Givens.
Hey,
oh, very
right
nice. Robin Givens.
Charlie kicks off.
I think Robin Givens is 60.
She's got to be around that now, hasn't she? It was a while back she was married to Mike. I'd say maybe 58.
Ooh, 59. Good start.
Oh, what a start, Paul. We don't check. People think we check. We don't check in the week.
No,
it's
no,
fair.
No,
it's a fair
cheating.
Game.
No point cheating. It ruins it. So, never stop Charlie, but so what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Yeah, he stopped smoking.
He'd definitely been to the news agents last week. It's one all.
One all.
One all.
Okay. Yeah. Right. It's the founder of Motown Records.
Oh, yeah.
Berry Gordy. Ooh, yeah, Berry Gordy. Yeah. Now, the last time I saw him, he was wearing an over-the-top, highly patterned floral shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bit much. Ozzy Ardiles hated it too. He said to him, "That's Berry, Berry Gordy."
Yeah. I like that. That's good. It's beautifully constructed.
We're allowed
I like
to do
that.
The voice.
Berry,
we're allowed to do the voice.
Berry, Berry.
Well, it's only
Spanish. I'm just saying. Argentine. You know, I don't know. You don't know what the rules are with voices anymore.
Nigel Farage.
That's true.
Berry Gordy's got to be, he's got to be 90 yeah. odd, isn't he?
Yeah.
92. He's a bit younger, John.
I don't
know.
93.
94.
Oh,
good work.
Okay, so what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Nice. Elite level scoring so far. It's Paul 3, Charlie 2.
Ooh, 3-2. What a game. Back to Charlie then. First off, number 3. Here we go.
Okay, it's the cyclist and commentator and winner of the 1987 Tour de France, Stephen Roach. Stephen Roach. And we were playing in a cricket match, actually, between TalkSport and Tour de France winners. And he was dismissed with a brilliant grab at first slip by Nigel Botherway. He said, "I really enjoy catching Roach."
Yeah. Does all the voices.
I like that. Did you say, don't do the voice, Andy. Don't say, do the voice.
Did you say... Did you say 1987?
Yeah. 69 is my guess. 69.
Yes, I'd say he's probably about 60, clickety-click, 66.
64.
Ooh, okay, well done,
Paul. Clawed a couple back. What a ding-dong do this
is. I think it's evened it right up.
Yeah. Well, Paul takes the lead. Two out onto five. Charlie, five out onto seven.
To birthday four. Back to me. We alternate, of course.
You won't believe that top TV producer Mr. Ben Winston is watching this.
No way.
Good old, what about
hello, Ben.
He's produced them all. He's worked with everybody.
Everybody.
Legend.
It's ridiculous.
He produced James Corden for about 5 years. Cutting-edge live American TV. And he's looking.
Fire,
and he's watching you two.
He's thinking
at the
you
moment.
Can do it on Instagram Live. That means you can do it on TV.
He's in a good
that
mood. He's in a good mood because the Goon scored six last
That's
night.
That's true. Perhaps this will be a TV show on American TV. That'll be marvellous.
He's going to nick the format. It's going to be James Corden's birthday spread. And there'll be nothing we can do about it.
Nothing we can do about it. Okie dokie. It's the politician and Secretary General of NATO in 94 to 95, Willie Klass. Willie Klass.
Right.
And I think the NATO job came too late for him. A couple of years earlier would have been much better. I much preferred the class of 92.
Oh, that's very good.
Very nice.
I think that's right.
Nice. Little nod of the head from Andy as well there. Beautiful.
Just like he's scored 100 runs. He's lifted his bat.
That's what they called sex education at my school. Willie Klass.
Yeah.
That's good. Must write that down.
Must write that down for next year.
Nice little silly joke.
Yeah, just, I like that, Charlie. Right. You should think about maybe doing some live work as well.
That'd be nice. I'm in Tiverton on Friday night, Swindon on Saturday night, and next Wednesday, December the 6th, live at London's Comedy Store. Do come on down.
Come and see us. I'm going to
Ben Winston, if you're looking for the new host.
No, Ben's right up. Honestly, he wants to take this to Hollywood. He's just to hold me. I can't believe it.
Hi, Ben.
88.
88, yeah, I think.
90.
He is, in fact, 85.
Oh, ooh, went the wrong 85. Way. Regals.
85.
Regals.
Paul is three out on that and is on to eight. And Charlie, five out, is on to 12.
Ooh, not
after
good.
Four.
Still a good
still
game.
Four.
Nothing
still
in
four,
it. Absolutely
four
nothing in
it.
Back to Charlie taking this into half-time.
Okay, final birthday before half-time. It's James Spencer Churchill, the Duke of Marlborough.
Of
Marlborough. I used to impersonate him, actually, but I have to admit, I was a bit of a pale imitation of the real thing. They used to call me the Duke of Marlborough Light.
Hey, beautiful.
That was good. That was a good one.
That's tough, isn't it? Because
who is he?
Could be 35,
could be 22,
40, could be 86.
Could be 82.
He's the Duke of Marlborough.
I've no idea.
Lives in Blenheim Palace, just down the road from you. Have you not seen him having a wander about Oxfordshire where you live?
In the newsagents.
Yeah. Does he mark up your papers? Maybe the Duke of Marlborough could tell us whether you cheat.
I thought it was a pub.
Last time I saw Charlie, he was buying all the papers.
70.
Wow, I'm going to take a... It's so hard. What was his name again, Andy?
James Spencer Churchill, the Duke of Marlborough.
So difficult, isn't it? 62. I'm going to stray too far.
68.
Oh! Well, that's made the second half very interesting.
What a good game.
Jeff, take us in half-time. What are the scores?
Well, incredibly, at half-time, Paul 6 out, Charlie 2 out. It's 14-all.
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 Wow.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It's the birthday spread. We've got the second half to come. It's delicately poised at 14-all. Let's have birthday number 6. Here's Pelle and Sergio Mendes.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello and welcome to part 2. And it's the chief strategist to President Trump in 2017, Steve Bannon.
Steve Bannon.
And he was asking me for a bit of travel advice. He wanted to know which town in South Wales was most worth visiting. I was a bit hesitant, but eventually replied, Barry Bannon.
Bannon.
You need to leave.
You have to leave the joke. I can only apologise. Wow.
It's all right.
What an idiot.
Some of the halftime scores very quickly. Halftime 17, all to play for, says Steve from Wincham. I'm on 23. That Duke bloke really threw me out.
Yes.
Says, where's that come from?
That's John in Swindon. Wasn't the Duke of Marlborough the con man in Fawlty Towers?
I don't think he was.
He was.
The Jiffy's listening. Halftime 17.
No, Lord Melchett, that was.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yes.
Didn't give me that money. Okay. On a horse.
Steve Bannon's got young hair, but he's probably about 59.
Steve Bannon.
Would you say he's older than that?
I think he's older than that.
A lot older than that.
You've said it now.
I know, yeah. I'm not going to take it back.
I think he's 66.
What is he?
Sorry, he's 70.
Wow.
There we are.
I tell you, it's that young
hair
that threw me.
Yeah, I was going to go older, but didn't want to go too far out,
Okay. So what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Bannon. So Paul is 11 out and moves on to 25, and Charlie 4 out onto 18. So Charlie has a 7-point lead with 4 to go. It's Charlie's to lose now.
I did get a bit of a 1,000-yard stare when I actually explained the Barry Bannon game to Barry himself. He wasn't troubled by it. I think he was, like most people, he was a bit confused. So next one then, Charlie's off next.
Okay, in a change to the advertised order for Jeff's point of view, it's the comedian Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith. And we were walking in the park behind snooker legend Jimmy White and his beautiful Labrador when the dog relieved itself right in front of us. I produced a bag and swept it up before Arthur could say anything. It was a mystery to him. He said, "Whatever happened to White's dog poo?"
Oh, that's it, yeah. Andy once did that on the train when we were going to Cheltenham. Andy sort of misappropriated.
He left some white dog poo.
Let me explain. He misappropriated the Arthur Smith line. He said, "Whatever happened to plain crisps?" As the trolley went past, and we went, "They got about 4 bags on there," which is why Andy doesn't do observational comedy.
That's very true.
Because what he says, you basically see 10 seconds later. Anyway, Arthur,
I have to show my hand here. I should know this. I'm friends with him.
Yeah.
Should know how old he is. I don't.
Okay. You don't send him a card then.
66.
He's getting there, isn't he, Arthur? I'd say he's a bit older than that. 68.
69.
Oh, okay. 69. What's that done to the scores?
Paul, you've closed the gap by a couple there. 1 out onto 26. Charlie, 3 out onto 21. Just 5 in it. 3 to go.
By the way,
Andy's art collection on Instagram Live. Fantastic.
Beautiful. You have the vision on music as he walks around his flat. Well, we've got 3 minutes to tidy this up. So here we go.
Okay.
Next birthday.
Yes, it's the art historian and specialist in old masters, Bender Grosvenor. We were having a heated debate over who was the best set play taker in Premier League history. I went for James Ward-Prowse, but Bender liked Beckham.
Okay.
Very nice.
Could have been a whole lot worse. I'd say, I don't know. 79.
82.
46.
Oh, no!
He's that bloke from Fame or Fake or Fortune.
Oh, I didn't know.
Trev, I was just following you, Bender. There we are.
So, what's that? Oh, well, it's going to be high scores.
He's an expert
now.
In old masters. All right.
It's going to be the score now. Okay. So, where are we at, Jeff? Can you work it out? Jeff's gone quiet because he's doing the maths.
It's a two-vape problem.
He's actually got it.
What's the score, Jeff?
Three vape problem. 33 out, Paul, onto 59. Oh. Charlie, 36 out, onto 57. Two in it. Two to go.
What a game.
Charlie in the lead.
Unbelievable.
Back to Charlie. Two to go.
Let's go.
Okay, the private secretary to the Prince of Wales from 96 to 2002, Sir Stephen Lamport.
Yeah.
And I remember when I had to greatly rely on his support during a legal battle with the estate of the late, great George Formby.
Yes.
I was leaning on a Lamport.
Of course you were.
Of course I was.
What do you reckon?
When was he? Yeah. What was his year? What
96
was his
to 2002, okay. Looking after...
Yeah. 82.
High maintenance would be my guess. What did you say?
82.
I could say he's a bit younger than that. I'd say 74.
72.
Oh, that's probably done it. This is a good margin because it's not many and I have to go first, so it's not so bad. So where are we at, Jeff?
Paul, 61. Charlie, 67.
Close.
So we want a seven swing, Charlie.
Come on, Baker. Get it together.
Right. Last birthday, Andy.
Okay, last birthday of the week. The novelist and playwright, Bernard Copps, K-O-P-S, Bernard Copps. And he asked me and Gareth Malone to form a football presenters choir featuring Adrian Durham, Gary Lineker and Richard Keys. But one of them was completely out of tune. Bernard asked me what was wrong. I said, it's Keys tone pops. Copps! Correct. I'm ruined.
What is it?
It's turned
let it,
off. It
be Sky Sport Winston.
Ben Winston.
What is one of those?
No, he's gone.
Andy died.
It's so sad.
Oh, dear.
Well, this is difficult. I've got seven to play with. I've got no idea. Oh.
Tripped up by addiction. It's unbelievable.
Call the cops. You could have gone down that route. Gone down
Keystone
the
Cops.
Keystone Cops.
Keystone Pops.
Great, but
yeah.
I messed it up.
Okay, Bernard Copps, seven to play with. I'm going to say 86. 86. Seven either way.
I didn't
Johnny.
Listen to what he did for a living.
He's a composer, wasn't he, Andy? Oh, okay. Bernard
Copps. No, he's a novelist and playwright.
I'm novelist and playwright.
80, what's he?
I went 86.
94.
Bernard Copps is, in fact, 97.
Bang! Yes! Eat it! Eat it!
a good winner and a good loser. I'll tell you what. It's almost like we gerrymandered that really tight ending so we can sell it to Ben Winston and James Corden.
The jeopardy of the game.
Ben, it's always as good as that. Honestly, it really is. Andy doesn't mess up the gags that often.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are.
Smash it.
That's this afternoon show. We'll reconvene tomorrow, myself and Andy.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the producer. What have we got on tomorrow? Well, we've got Stan Collymore doing the football.
No, you got the. How are you getting on in the
we've got England's women got a massive game tomorrow night. We're going to be previewing
the Fools panel, Paul. Are you doing well in the Fools panel? I've not been listening.
Not bad. I think the listeners are doing very
they're
well
winning,
in the
are they?
Fools panel. Claire Rafferty here to talk about former Chelsea and England player.
But the listeners cheat and they Google all the scores before.
Is that what they do?
Before,
oh yeah, of course, of course they do.
You know, they cheat.
So anyway, well, I'm sure we'll fill the 3 hours somehow.
Something will turn up.
So do hope you can join us. If not, the podcast will be available as always at around 4. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.